Well, this morning we are going to talk about elders. We're going to talk about their role in the church and God's good purposes for elders in leading the church. And to do that, I thought, this might not be a good idea, but I thought it was going to be a good idea when I was preparing this message, was to read for you from our book of church order, just to kind of get us on the same page. And some of you are probably thinking, well, what in the world is our book of church order? This is the actual book of church order, but what it is Sovereign Grace Church's best attempt at reading the Bible for years, praying through it, talking together in groups, grabbing all of the elders in Sovereign Grace. That means all around the country, people who are directly associated with Sovereign Grace would call themselves a Sovereign Grace church. We get together, and these men who were primarily, you know, I guess, charged to put this together, they would get together often. They would search through the Bible. They would look at what does God have to say about polity, like in the sense of how the church is to be governed as we see it in Scripture. And these men would also spend time taking a look at church history, looking at other polities throughout the history of the church. And so, as you can imagine, this group of men, they've spent hours putting these things together, and then they would bring portions of it to what we call the Council of Elders meeting. And so we have this in Sovereign Grace once a year in October, and we're also having one at August 27th and 28th. There's a special Council of Elders meeting, and what we do at these meetings is we get together and we talk through doctrinal stuff. We talk through denominational stuff, because Sovereign Grace is a denomination. And so if your people ask you what denomination is that, you can say Sovereign Grace, and you still have to explain what Sovereign Grace is, because Sovereign Grace is not very old in the sense of denominations. I don't know that you have to explain Baptist to somebody, but when somebody says Sovereign Grace, what is that? Because we're fairly new when it comes to being a denomination, because prior to this book of church order, what we had was this tagline where we'd say, we're just a family of churches partnering together in the gospel, and it worked for a couple decades. And what happened is some things happened in Sovereign Grace where we realized, you know, we can't just be a family of churches. We need to be a little bit more than that. It's good to be a family of churches. We need to define what family of churches means. And so what we've come up with is this book of church order, and you can see it's the 8th edition, and we have that in the bookstore back there. So if you're interested in this, I think you can buy it, or I'll give it to you. They also have a version of it online, and so there's a link. If you go to Sovereign Grace Churches, just Google that. There's a link to get this book of church order and just begin to kind of read through it. Some people love it. We see this at the Council of Elders. Some guys just, like, they just get super excited when they start thinking about polity. And I'm going to read for you just a moment, and you're going to see you may really get super excited about it, and some of you won't. But what I want to read from is what we've done, in a sense, is we've defined what we mean by elder in Sovereign Grace. And I want to read that to you, and it's going to be up here on the screen. It's going to be a little bit lengthy, but I think it's important because today we're going to talk about elders. We're going to talk about what God calls an elder to do, the roles and the responsibilities and the readiness of an elder, and because we all benefit from God's gift of pastors, elders to a church. God calls these men to serve in a certain way, and so please follow along with me. And so I'm going to read this to you. Now, this is section 2. And what you're going to find in the book of church orders, you're going to see a lot of 2, 2.1, 2.1.3. And so it gets down to the weeds sometimes, but not so much in this section. So the office of elder, New Testament terminology, elder, pastor, overseer. And so these are all roles that you will see in your Bible as you read in various texts. These different offices come up. And so we say this, from the beginning, local churches have been governed and led by elders, and I'm not going to read all the references, with the assistance of deacons, elder, pastor, overseer. The elder is ordained in a church to lead, teach, care for, and protect that local church. While we most often use the term elder for the pastoral office of the church, this is only one of several terms used in the New Testament to describe the role. The Bible refers interchangeably to this office as elder, pastor, or shepherd, and overseer. Elder comes from the Greek word presbyteros. When used of the office in the church, the implication is that the man is a mature and wise man, not necessarily that he has reached a certain age. That's important. A second term used of elders in the New Testament is pastor or shepherd. As in Ephesians 4:11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Places like John 10 and Psalm 23 remind us of the specific individual care that God extends to us as our good shepherd and model for us what is meant by the term as it is applied to the elders of a local church. A third term is overseer, episkopos, as in 1 Timothy 3:1. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. This term captures the authority and leadership entrusted to elders. It is critical that we see the equivalence of these three terms in the New Testament. An elder is a pastor, is an overseer. We can see the synonymous nature of the terms in Titus 1:5 through 9, where Titus is told to appoint elders. And then he is instructed concerning potential candidates the overseer must be. Further, in Acts 20:28, the Ephesian elders are told how they must shepherd their flock as overseers. In 1 Peter 5:1 through 4, he addresses elders and then tells them to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, specifically by exercising oversight. While verb forms are mixed with the noun elder here, the ideas of elder, shepherd, overseer are clearly coextensive. Thus, we ought to use all three terms to refer to the same office. Further, we need to let our understanding of the pastoral office include the connotations of all three terms. We cannot let one term swallow up the other two. Thus, the leadership and authority implied by overseer is to be joined to the protection, care, and nourishment implied by the use of pastor. And both of these are to be attached to the wisdom and mature discernment implied by the term elder. The Bible itself must guide our use of these different terms, not how they have become traditionally understood in certain denominations. 2.2, the responsibilities of the elder. The elder, pastor, overseer has four broad responsibilities within the local church. Elders feed, oversee, care for, and protect the flock entrusted to them. 2.2.1, first, pastors are to feed the flock entrusted to their care. Elders are teachers who build the church in their care by preaching and teaching. This is why an elder must be able to teach, 1 Timothy 3:2, and there you're going to find some qualifications for elders. Teaching happens through the ministry of the word on Sunday mornings, but also in the more private reproof, correction, training, and exhortation that happens in the pastor's ministry to individuals. 2.2.2, second, elders are to oversee the flock entrusted to them. And just so you know, this is how it happens in the Council of Elders meetings. It's a really good meeting for us. And some people really don't like these meetings because it gets into the details. I like it because once you get past the 2.2.2.3, because sometimes it goes there, all these guys are getting up, and it's literally like, it's just like this. We're all sitting around. Somebody gets up, and they get a mic, and they say 2.2.2.3, and then they make their thing, and they say this. And then what ends up happening is it sounds really formal. A debate breaks out on the floor, where people just start to wrestle through, what does that really mean? What are the implications for that? And that's what's going to happen on the 27th and 28th. And so we have a special Council of Elders meeting, and I expect there's going to be a lot of debate as we just wrestle through some really big things in sovereign grace at this point. So anyway, back to 2.2.2. Elders provide leadership and thus manage God's church. This leadership requirement is seen by the use of the title overseers to describe an elder. Further, the use of the term manage in 1 Timothy 3:5 and the reference to ruling also in 1 Timothy 5:17 also support the notion that elders govern the church in a leadership capacity. Hebrews 13:17, which uses the more general term leaders, commands Christians to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, which seems to provide corroboration regarding the management and governing responsibilities of elders. Additionally, 1 Peter 5:2 reminds pastors that they are to be those exercising oversight, but not under compulsion. 2.2.3. Third, pastors are to care sincerely for the flock entrusted to them by God. Just as the great commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor, and apart from the love we accomplish, nothing, so a shepherd must be genuinely concerned for the welfare of every member of his respective church, not seeking his own interests, but those of Jesus Christ. Fourth, elders protect the flock, looking out for wolves that can come from without and from within the church. Elders are to pay careful attention and to be alert. This is not to give an elder a suspicious heart, but a watchful one, not a cynical heart, but a cautious one. For example, the elder must know the difference between someone who disagrees with him and a divisive man who is actually a wolf. Such attentiveness and discernment is part of the role. And so there is far more to read if you would like to read that. And again, you can find that on the website or you can grab the book back there in the bookstore. But I wanted to share that with you because that's what we, Sovereign Grace Church, agree to when we sign this partnership with all the other Sovereign Grace churches, as we are part of the denomination of Sovereign Grace. And so that book of church order, it defines who we are. It defines what we do, and it says specific things about an elder, the man that God has called and equipped to lead the church. And so we're going to talk about the role of elder today, and it's a little weird because what we're going to talk about is me in a sense, because I'm the only elder in this church, and that's not the way that we want it to be, but that's the way that it is today. And I'm going to share at the end about some ideas we have in moving forward with more elders, because we need a plurality of elders. And so this isn't just about me. This is about all of the elders that you will encounter as a believer in your life as you are called by God to be a part of a local church, because all local churches are meant to be led and cared for by God-ordained elders. And so what I just read sort of outlines for you what an elder is and what he's called to do in a Sovereign Grace church. And so that we believe that exists through other churches as well, but we're just defining Sovereign Grace church. And so we're going to jump into this section of 1 Peter, and we're going to look at just verses 1 through 4. So let me read that real quick, and then we'll start making some comments on it. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he says, "So I exhort the elder among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Let me just read verse 5 because this pertains to all of us. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." We're not going to actually get into verse 5 today. That's going to be part 2, and that's going to be next week. And so as we jump into this, we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at the elder's role, the elder's readiness, and the elder's reward. So let's look at the first point, the elder's role. So this comes in a context. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, it follows chapter 4. And chapter 3 and chapter 2 and chapter 1. And so that's important because what's happening and what you got to be reminded of, and I'm going to read this for you from 17, 18, and 19 at the end of chapter 4, is Peter's instructing this church. If you remember, this is a church full of people who are first-generation believers, and they're wondering, is this really what the Christian life is all about? Is suffering really a part of following Christ? Because I believed in Christ, and my life seems to have gotten a bit harder. And so Peter then addresses them, and he's calling them to remind them that they're sojourners. They've been called out of this world, they're passing through this world, but they're in this world, and not everybody's going to like you as a believer. And their greatest hope is not in being liked by the world around them, but their greatest hope is being found in Jesus Christ. And that they should expect suffering, and that the Lord is using that suffering to shape them and to prepare them for what is to come. Okay, and so there's a bit of suffering that the church will experience, and he kind of roots that underneath God's judgment in the sense that God uses that to make the church holy. Okay, and so look at verse 17 from chapter 4 and 18, 19 says this. He says, "For it is time for judgment to begin." And so he's saying, no, the time's now. It's going to begin, and he goes on to say this, "at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." And so that's the context. Time of judgment, it's time to begin. And there's people getting saved, and so that's all part of it. God is saving people. He's preparing them for eternity, and he's saying it's beginning with the household of God, and so that's the context. And now Peter turns his attention to the household of God directly, and he addresses the leaders. He gets the attention of the elders of the church, and he says, "So I exhort the elders among you, in light of what I just said, in light of this judgment that has come, I now exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, here's what I have to say to the elders. Shepherd the flock of God among you." Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So as long as we are sojourners living in this world, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of the suffering, with all of the hardships that we're going to experience in this life, what he's saying is we need faithful elders. We need faithful leaders to care for God's church, to care for God's people, to set an example of what it means to follow Jesus Christ to the end. Because we're all passing through. And in God's kindness, he has given the church leaders. And so this is why he's exhorting the elders to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. But he doesn't say this as an outsider. He says this as someone who is familiar with what it means to be an elder. He says it as someone who is in the trenches, so to speak, of church leadership. As God is obviously using Peter, or obviously used Peter, to really begin to build his church. And so Peter writes as a fellow elder, as a fellow leader in the church, as one who is also a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. And so the call to shepherd the flock of God, it's one that Peter, he knew really, really well. He knew the ins and outs of it. He knew the highs and the lows of what it meant to be an elder. And so he links arms with them as he charges them to do what God has called them to do, to care for God's people, to shepherd God's flock. He was an eyewitness to Christ's sufferings. He lived with Jesus for years. He listened to his teachings. He watched him minister to people all the way to the cross. He was there with Jesus. He watched Christ suffer and die. That's who's writing this letter and who's addressing leaders in the church and the church as well. During this time, though, remember, Peter wasn't always faithful, was he? As Jesus was making his way to the cross and as he was captured, Peter denied knowing Jesus, failed him. This is part of what he's trying to draw attention to as he's saying, fellow elder, fellow partaker of the glory that's going to be revealed. He knows what it's like to be someone who has failed, I guess, and who has sinned against the Lord. And that's why he draws attention to that himself, being able to identify with that element, but also this other part where he says, a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. And so he had failed to faithfully follow Jesus in his sufferings, but Jesus was faithful to forgive him and restore him and ultimately redeem him and use him to build his church. So Peter wrote this charge to the elders from a place of humility, as a man who knows what it's like to fail and be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ and then be used by Christ and then to have his hope set on the glory that is to come as he seeks to run this race for the glory of God. You see, the call to be an elder, and this is really speaking to any of us in the church, but also those who desire this noble task. People who, like, it just begins as this little burden of, I feel called to lead, and I don't really know what that necessarily means, or I feel like God would call me to be a pastor in the church. It typically begins with a desire. That's what we say in 1 Timothy. And so what you need to hear here from Peter and in this message is that the call to be a shepherd, the call to be a leader, it's not an easy task. Nor is it given to men who are perfect and are able to walk this out perfectly. Peter's life here is meant to give all elders everywhere hope. Hope to walk faithfully in what God has called them to do, and hope, ultimately, in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. See, there's no such thing as a perfect pastor. Pastors are people like everyone else. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, set free from the power of sin. But like everybody, or I should say, and like everybody else, the reality is sin still remains in our hearts, right? But yet pastors or elders are called to be examples. They're called to lead. But sometimes what we can do is we can put them so high up that we don't leave room for failure. You know what I mean? I've seen this. I've done this. And we can do that to pastors' families. I'm not saying you've done that. These are just things I've thought through and I've seen in Sovereign Grace, outside of Sovereign Grace, where sometimes we can view pastors as perfect or the need to be perfect because they are called to lead. But it's in the same way as a husband and wife are called to lead their families. It's never done perfectly. But it's meant to be done faithfully, trusting in the grace of God. And so one of the things we try to do in our families is one of the ways we walk that out is what we're trying to set an example of is just a path of repentance and faith. Because mom and dad aren't perfect. And so I share that with you because I think that's what Peter's getting at here is elders are not perfect. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They've been called by Christ and equipped by Christ to walk this out, trusting in what Christ has accomplished, yet they're called to set an example as they shepherd the flock. See, as your elder here, I know that I'm not perfect. I just feel the need to share that with you because you need to know that. I'm just not perfect. I struggle. I try to share my struggles with you on Sundays and messages. And I, you know, the Lord gave me, he was kind to me again this week. So last week I shared I got in a conflict with my wife. But we worked through that by the grace of God. But guess what happened this week? I got in another conflict with my wife. See, God's after things. He's revealing the sin that is still in my heart. And it was very similar to the first conflict. I was corrected by my wife. I didn't respond immediately with humility, as I responded more with questions and anger and God used that in the midst of it to reveal more areas of pride in my life, in the things I said and the things I didn't say. But again, by the grace of God, we're able to work through that. And I share this with you because I'm not perfect. I'm not. Fail in many ways. But I trust in a gracious God. And I seek to, I guess, walk that out with repentance and faith. Peter was not perfect. The elders he's addressing aren't perfect. You're never going to encounter a perfect elder. And I say that to you for a couple of reasons. Pray for your elders. Pray for your pastors. Have a realistic view of who they are. Encourage them along the way. Peter knows what it's like to fail. Those elders know like what it's to fail. I know what it's like to fail as well. It doesn't mean that failing is okay either, because there's qualifications to be an elder. But we're going to move on, because in this verse, Peter also exhorts elders to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And so he's getting after the role. An elder is called to be like a shepherd of God's sheep. And so the local church would be those sheep that an elder is called to shepherd. They're called to lead and care for God's people. And so a shepherd's responsibilities include watching over his sheep, paying close attention to how they're doing, and being on guard for anything that would threaten their life and well-being. A shepherd's responsibilities include guiding his sheep, moving them from this pasture to the next pasture as we sojourn through this life, as we wait for Christ to return. And so pastors, elders are called to oversee, to care, to lead, and to guide God's people ultimately to where Christ is going to meet us. A shepherd's responsibilities include caring for the sheep, making sure they are healthy, making sure they stay healthy, and when they're not healthy, seeking to care for them so that they can get back to a healthy place. This is not always easy. A shepherd's responsibilities include providing for the sheep, providing food and water as is necessary. So pastorally, that translates to teaching God's word to the church, Sunday morning, like I read, and also in private meetings. And a pastor's or shepherd's responsibility is to love his sheep, to love his sheep. Now, I read a book on shepherding. It was all about just what shepherds do and how they do it and all that kind of stuff. A few years ago, this man traveled to the Middle East, and he just spent months with shepherds as they watched over their sheep. And he was asking them a number of questions, but one question in particular he was asking was, what does it take to be a shepherd? And he said the best answer that he received, and he received a number of them, was the following. He said, what really matters is that you have a heart for it. What really matters, if you're going to be a shepherd, is that your heart is for the sheep. Which makes sense. In this, in the book, he's illustrating, he's showing this guy his sons, and his sons are out there with the sheep, and he's like, my sons don't have it. And the guy's like, well, how can you tell? And he goes, watch the way they interact with the sheep. And so they didn't have a heart for it, and it's felt. So one of the things I like to do when guys desire the noble task of being an elder, I have a list of questions I've created over the years, and it's, I think, grown into the hundreds, of just things I want to know about a guy as he's seeking to pursue being an elder in a church. And one of them stands above all the other ones of my questions that I ask people. And so if you desire to be a pastor, this question is coming your way at some point in time, and it's this: do you love people? And typically, here's the response I get from people: yes, I love people. And I'm like, why would you not love people? And then I expect the yes, I love people answer. And so then what I do is I let them talk, and then I just pause for a moment, and I really look them in the eye, and I just say, no, I mean, do you really love people? And then I explain a little bit what I mean by that. And I just say, I don't just mean the people you like and the people you hang around with and the people you get along with well. I mean, do you love the people who don't like you? Where are they at in your life? Tell me about those people and how you interact with them. And the reason I ask that question is because the church is made up of all sorts of different people. And God has called an elder to love the sheep, to shepherd the flock of God that is among us. And if we're going to do this faithfully, you have to genuinely love people, even the people who don't like you. And you think, well, do people really not like you? Yeah, that happens. When I was 25, I first became a pastor, and one of the pastors that was helping to disciple me, he goes, sometimes sheep bite. And I kind of laughed. You know, I kind of knew what he meant, but I was 25, young and dumb. No offense, Garrett, I know you're 25, but that was me. And so, like, as I look back on that over the years, I know what he means. Because I know my own life. I bite people. My wife is the one who probably gets the brunt of this. Catch me on a bad day, my response is not always going to be one of humility. It's just how life works. And so you throw us all in a room together like this, guess what? Sometimes we're not going to get along. I tell every new member this. At some point in your life, in this church, you will be disappointed by somebody in this church, and I guarantee at some point you will be disappointed by a leader in this church, and that includes me. I just try to prepare people. This is called life. But at the end of the day, the way the church works, God calls elders to lead the church, and if you're going to shepherd and lead the church, you have to love people, even the people who are not easy to love. And you know how that works in your own life, right? And so you got to work hard at it. I have to work hard at it. I have to be reminded regularly. I have these things I work through and I go back to and I remind myself. And right now, I'm stuck on this phrase, love moves towards people. And that's rooted in the gospel, okay? Enemies lived on this planet of God, and God so loved the world. What did he do? He moved towards people. He's the great shepherd who cares for his people, and love moves towards people. So if you're going to be an elder, you got to move. Easier said than done. But it's part of what God has called pastors, elders, to do. So if you want to be an elder, let me ask you this question. Do you love people? Do you genuinely love the people God has placed around you? Because God has called elders to shepherd the flock, the entire flock. This moves us to our second point, the elders' readiness. In this section, Peter gets a little more specific in regards to the elders' role by addressing what an elder is not to do and what an elder is supposed to do. So look at verse 2 and 3. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. An elder is someone who's called and gifted by God to oversee the church, much like a shepherd oversees the sheep, kind of paying close attention to everything. And within this oversight comes this level of authority and responsibility to care for and lead God's church. And so God invests this or gives to this elder this authority and responsibility to lead and to care. And 1 Peter tells us that an elder is to exercise this oversight not under compulsion, but willingly. And so an elder is to willingly lead the church. He's not called to do this because he has to do it. He's called to do it, and he should want to do it. It shouldn't be a duty. Rather, it should be seen more as a delight. C.S. Lewis, writing about this, said the following, "A perfect man would never act from a sense of duty. He'd always want the right thing more than the wrong one. Duty is only a substitute for love of God and of others or people. Like a crutch, which is a substitute for a leg, most of us need a crutch at times, but of course it is idiotic to use the crutch when our own legs, our loves, tastes, habits, etc., can do the journey on their own." And so there are times when a pastor, and it's just like a husband or a wife, there's times when you got to just do the right thing. You just do it. Your heart may not necessarily be in it, but that shouldn't characterize the way in which a leader leads in the church. What the Lord is saying is it shouldn't be a duty. It shouldn't stay under the category of duty. If you've been called to lead God's people, it should be something you eagerly run into, something you want to do, something that's in your heart that you get excited about. Now, it doesn't have to be there all the time, but it needs to be present most of the time. Now, think about it. This is kind of like how we all do life. School is about to start up. There's kind of two different kids, right? You like school, right? Yeah, okay. She likes school. Anybody not like school? Yeah, anybody find school difficult? Like, it was kind of like you're just, I gotta get these two books read before school starts, and you read those books, and you probably can't remember those books, and I said, hey, did you like those books? You're like, no, I didn't like those books. But the kid who loves school, loves reading, I asked them the same question, did you like those books? Yeah, I'm even reading the other two books that are part of the series. These are real kids in this church. Some do it out of duty. They just check the box, and they're not going to learn a whole lot. And the other ones love to learn. And as they love to learn and they start doing it, they eat it up, and they're going to be the smart ones. They're the ones who are going to run the world one day, sort of, in certain things, because eventually you find something you like, right? And when you love to do it, what happens? It's easy. You eat it up. It's natural. Same way with husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. If you only love your wife out of a sense of duty, guess what? She feels it, right? She feels like dates were just being checked off a box, something I have to do because this is what I should be doing. It's not something I want to be doing. And so there's a difference. And that's what he's saying with elders here. There's a difference between duty and delight. There's a difference between doing something out of duty in the church and actually willingly and wanting to do it. The church feels it. You can't hide that. You can't hide it in any area of your life. You might disguise it for just a little bit, but you can't do it forever. So the role of an elder is to willingly care for the church. Willingly care for the church. It shouldn't be a painful thing. It should be an eager thing or a willing thing. Secondly, Peter writes that an elder is to exercise oversight not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And so David Helm basically says it like this. Elders must be eager to teach, but not eager for cash. Not in it for the money. Now, elders should get paid. Scripture teaches that. Based upon what they're called to do in the church, they should be paid, should be cared for. But what he's after is the heart. You don't enter into being an elder for a paycheck. I would just say, like, it's just painful if you are. It's not worth the paycheck. Encourage anybody in that area. You, pursuing it for the paycheck is not what God has called us to, and this is what Jesus' teaching is in Matthew 6:24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. So he's getting after that. It's not about the paycheck. It's about the people. Pastors are called to the people and not a paycheck. All right. I think you get it. The third and final thing Peter writes about is that an elder must exercise oversight in the church, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And so, since an elder has been given a significant portion of authority in the church to lead, govern, and care for, and make decisions in the church, he addresses the way in which an elder does that. You don't do it from a place of just dominating the church. It's not a dictatorship at all. It's not to be done in that way. It's meant to be done in a place of humility. Leadership is important in the church. Elders are called to set a Christ-like example for the church. They're called to serve and not dictate. Jesus, one of my favorite teachings on leadership, Mark chapter 10, said it this way. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so the way of the world is to take this authority and lord it over people. But Jesus says, that's not the way it's done in my kingdom. He himself came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so he led the way, and as elders are called to lead in the church, they're called to set an example for one another by laying down their lives in their leadership for the people they've been called to serve, like Christ. David Helm again writes, humility and sacrificial service are the hallmarks of godly leadership. Now that's something that doesn't just apply to elders, it applies to every man, woman, and child that ever leads anything in the kingdom of God. Humility and sacrificial service are the hallmarks of godly leadership. See, the church will flourish in its faith when there are godly men as elders leading willingly and eagerly and lovingly and humbly. This leads us to the final point. I'm going to go through quickly on this because I have some other things I want to say. Number three, the elders' reward. So those who serve faithfully, Peter writes the following, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. It's something I don't think about a lot as an elder, but sort of corrected this week because God intentionally puts this here when addressing elders. He's not just talking about some random thing or some general crown of glory that everybody gets in typical reference. That means everybody's going to receive this, and what that's talking about is heaven. He's talking about something physical here, something that is sort of mysterious to me. I've tried to study a little bit, couldn't get my arms completely around it, but there seems to be this physical reward for faithful elders. One of my comments I put in here was just like, I guess we'll all find out when we get there one day what's really true about who I am. Kind of a scary thing as I sat and thought about that, because there will be a reward for faithful elders who have faithfully and willingly and lovingly cared for God's people. And so that's all I'm going to share on that point. It's just that elders who serve faithfully will be rewarded by the chief shepherd. And that's meant to motivate elders not to live for today, but to live for that day. It's important. So in closing, I have one application point for us as a church, and that is to pray. Pray for your elders. So right now, currently, I am the only elder in this church, but that is not where we want to be. We don't want to stay, and that's not the way that God has ordained the church to be led. And so I've shared this with the leadership team. I share this with guys in Sovereign Grace, just that when there is only one elder in a church, and that happens, it's not abnormal, but I think a church can survive for a season that way, but that's not the way it's supposed to be, because eventually what ends up happening, this has been my experience now, I think serving for a little over 2 years as the only elder here, what ends up begin to happen is the church will suffer and the elder will suffer, because there is protection in a plurality of elders. There are things, I've mentioned a number of things that an elder is called to do, and there are just things I can't get to. There's things that I'm not strong in, that in God's wisdom, he has other elders who are strong in that area, and they work together, kind of like a marriage, you know, or a team at your work that you put together your strengths and weaknesses, and you match things up. And God does that in a church through a plurality of elders. Now, we have a leadership team that helps function, but they're not elders. They're not called and ordained by God and given those same responsibilities. Therefore, they don't carry the weight of all that God calls an elder to do, because an elder is called to carry a weight and walk out a role. And so one of the things that we've been doing to sort of fix that issue is we've been working with a couple guys that we've sort of put in this I don't even know what you call it, a bucket, I guess, the best thing I got, this pathway to eldership. And these are just the beginning. I'm always thinking through this. And so one of those guys is Phil Friesen. And so you've seen Phil stand up here and preach. You've seen him do certain things. He served on the leadership team. Phil's a man who desires this noble task, as Timothy would say. And so there is a process outlined in the book of church order, how a man becomes an elder in Sovereign Grace Church. And Phil has started that process. He's taken some tests. He's walked through life with me and the leadership team and the church. And he's in the process of writing some papers. And so it's worked out locally, but because we're part of Sovereign Grace, there's also extra local care that they get their eyes on Phil. And they help us to evaluate, is Phil a man who is really called by God and equipped by God to lead as an elder in the church? And we believe he is, as a leadership team. We believe Phil is that man, and this is part of that process. And so he's walking down that road, and I'm sharing that with you because I also want you to pray for Phil. I want you to pray that God would give him wisdom. I also want you to pray for us as a church, because part of the process is we need your feedback in regards to Phil, so that when he does get to the place where we can lay hands on him and say, we believe that God has called and ordained this man to be an elder in this church, we celebrate that together. So it's not something we vote on, but it's something we all get to participate in. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out an email to you all. It's going to be a form through Breeze, and I just like for your feedback. It's going to be some simple questions in regard to, do you think Phil is called to be an elder? Would Phil be a good fit as an elder in this church? It's part of that process, and we need your feedback. It's how you can participate. You can talk to me personally as well. And so Phil's down the line. We're hoping to move him down the line quickly where he's ordained possibly the beginning of next year. There's a number of things he has to do, tests he's got to do, oral exams, all that kind of stuff, and things like that. But when we look at 1 Timothy and Titus, and we see all the character qualifications, I believe Phil has that. The ability to teach, I think Phil has the ability to teach. I think Phil manages his home well. I believe God's called Phil to be an elder in this church. But before we move forward with that, I want to hear from you, so I'll be sending you an email on that. And then further down the road is a man named Garrett. Garrett's been working with us, and he desires that noble task. And I would say, pray for Garrett. Pray for us wisdom to know the timing of that. I read that and I said, now age is important because a man's called to be an elder, but it doesn't give us a specific age. But as a man who was thrown into pastoring at the age of 25, I tell everybody the same thing. I said, I would never send myself to the pastor's college again at 25. Only because I was young and dumb. Now, that's not apples to apples, me and Garrett, so I trust other guys and their wisdom. Garrett's a man who grew up in the church. I didn't grow up in the church. Garrett's a man who's gone to Bible school and graduated from seminary and has served in other churches as a pastor in training, and he's got way more experience than I ever had at the age of 25. Somebody just threw me out there, and you guys all had to walk through all the bumps and bruises along the way. So it's not apples to apples in that sense like that, but we need wisdom. And so I kind of like, you just, well, what is he? And you throw him in there like pastor in training, I think both Phil and him would be, until there's something official. But what we're saying is we have guys that we're moving for a plurality, and we need your feedback. And so we're starting with Phil right now, and you'll be getting an email. And I would love your feedback. Phil would love your feedback because we need more elders. We need God to work in your hearts. We need God to work in young men's hearts in this church because we need elders in this church and we want to plant churches. We want to send godly men out and plant churches. There's no reason that there is not a Sovereign Grace church for us to plant a Sovereign Grace church somewhere in Marietta. Some of us travel from all over the place to come here, which I'm so grateful for. This area is so big. Chattanooga's one that I've shared a number of times. I love that city. And for some reason, we have not planted there yet, along with Knoxville. Everybody keeps talking about it. But to do that, you need elders. And so, pray for elders. And please pray for me. I want to make it to the end. It scares me. I look at people's lives. I'm sure you hear stories. Pastors who start well and they do not finish. I would love to finish being your pastor. I'd love to finish well, pastoring with other pastors in this church. But to do that, I'm aware I absolutely need the grace of God, just like we all do. So please pray for your elders. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the ways in which you have protected us and continue to protect us and watch over us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would bless this church with more elders. Lord, you would cause this church to grow. Lord, that Lord, you would raise up godly men. Lord, I pray that you would begin to put desires in young men's hearts. Lord, that you would just radically change them, Lord, like you did in my life, Lord, where I was heading down a certain direction, and all of a sudden you saved me, and all of a sudden there's this crazy desire that I would never have thought of, but it's there and it doesn't go away. Lord, I pray you would begin to do that in men's hearts, and that they would willingly want to do this, Lord, and that you would make it clear who these men are. Lord, I pray for this church that you would bless them as they leave here today. Lord, you would fill them with fresh faith, hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would be moved by the remembrance that you, Lord, are of first importance, that you came, you lived, you died, and you rose again, and we leave with hope because of this truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions about any of that eldership, I'd love to talk to you as well. But with that, may the Lord bless you, and may you experience his peace this week.